Yerushim Malchini Rukrinu on the night of Arhalachim Salvados, Orly Yud Zayin Kislev. Okay, there's a Suman Amufar and Hekka to light with Shem and Zayas. But nowadays it's not a problem. It will be sold in the stores, probably. Shem and Zayas. There's three reasons to light with Shem and Zayas. That Shem and Zayas Amufar. One is the wind in the Chiddush Gemara's Lashon. It's steady. Another reason given is that it's a very clear light. It's salul, very clear. And actually, the reason, which is the one everyone would say, but it's not so clear, says it, or Chacham says it, and that is that the Neis happened with Shem and Zayas. And there's no Shem and Zayas Motzui, then you use any Shemen. Shemen is better than Neros Shava or Shemen. It's after all Shemen, unless the light of the Shemen is markedly not as clear as the light of the Shava. Well, it's not Shava nowadays. We don't even have Shava. Paraffin. Some with oil and some with Neros, but it should be the same kinds. But you can light with different types of Shmonim because it's not so nicker, the difference between the different types of Shmonim. There's actually halacha like this, and I think it's an important halacha because we can extrapolate it to other halachas. That is, the Rosh Hashulchan writes that if you take Neiros because you don't have Shem and Zayas, or you didn't think you had Shem and Zayas, and you start the bracha, and then they brought you Shem and Zayas, and you didn't say Hashem's name already even, you do not take a different, you don't take the Shemen, it's considered a bezayon to the Neirus that you started making the bracha over. If you didn't start making the bracha, even with just the word Baruch, if you didn't start, okay, even in that case some say you shouldn't, but certainly if you said Baruch, it would be to take it away, so even though it's mitzvah mena mufchar to take the Shemen Zayas, you would not do it in this case. Also the Aruch HaShulchan, and you can extrapolate it to other types of cases, where if you yotzei for sure with what you have and you started it, it's considered a bezayin for the mitzvah, and you even at the expense of not doing it ba'oifen muhuder. The consensus of all the poskim is that there's no need, and this is no geya, that there's no need for shemen that is roi l'achila. They sell in the stores called shemen lamor, and it's probably not roi l'achila too much. Some say it's a hiddur mitzvah to have it roi l'achila. It's not so clear why that should be the hiddur mitzvah. The hiddur mitzvah should be if it burns clearly, if it gives a clear light. But having it be roi l'achila, probably, although it's not 100% sure, but probably the oil in the Beis HaMikdash was not roi l'achila. It was probably very bitter. It was shemen kosis. It was not treated. It was the first oil. So it was probably very, very bitter. It probably wasn't so roi l'achila. So, but it can't be isuri hanoah. When is that relevant? It would be relevant if you have shemen shel orla. You have to make, that would be a problem. Shemen of isuri hanoah is a problem. I'm not going to go into the reasons why. And I mean, it could be basa b'cholov too, maybe, but. But Arla could be a problem. So anyway, it doesn't have to be Roy Lachila, but it shouldn't be Yisuri Hanoh. Okay. We'll learn how to solve this in the middle of Shari Yichud HaMaisa Perakei. And he's talking about different enticements of the Yitzhara. So he has two groups, really, in Perakei. He has one group of fundamentals of Yiddishkeit that are not really as clear to you as it should be. And that always, of course, has its ramifications in your actions. And the second half of Perakei is talking about more like what we talk about, the Yetzer Hara. Not in ideas of concepts or of beliefs, your fundamentals, but what he tries to do in your everyday, day-to-day life. So in the beginning he talks about a rifyon in Hasharas HaNefesh, And I always found it interesting that that's first, before even the Borei Olam creating a world. But the fact that the Nefesh, that this world is temporary, and there's going to be a world after this world, try to be Matul Sofek, and that the Borei Olam, that the world has a beginning, there's a Borei, we'll try to be Matul Sofek in the need for Avodas Hashem. Hashem doesn't really need anything. We'll try to be Matul Sofek in Nevuah, try to be Matul Sofek in Torah Shebaal Peh, try to be Matul Sofek in Schar Va'onesh. Matul Sofek means we don't have the clarity in it that we should, and therefore we don't live with it, even though we probably would certainly profess belief in it, but we don't live it because it's really not clear to us. Whenever Chaim Lvovitz talks about these things, he talks about Yisborer v'Yisames. He talks about it becomes clear like the day to you. It becomes a total reality. So, and so it's not so simple. So Schar V'Einish and Schar Olam Haba. Okay, now we're starting to shift into not belief systems, but how you live. So he says, and then in each of the things I mentioned, he gives the how-to manual of how to combat it, how to fight it. And then he always, and again, the Yisod of the fifth parak here is the famous story that the Yetzer Hara doesn't get tired. It's always a Milchama, it's always an Oyev. If this doesn't work, we'll try something else. If that doesn't work, we'll try something else. He never tires. If the Yetzirah gives up, you know, he sees it's not working in being matel or suffek in these principles that we talked about, so he goes on to something else. Yishtadel la'atzel osonu, to make us lazy. This is especially appropriate the Chanukah. By now everyone knows the Bach, tucked away somewhere in the Hagos on Bach, that the Tzara, the Avera that brought about the story of Chanukah, the history of the problem, was the Hisrashlus Ba'avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. We're not told exactly what it was, but there was a Hisrashlus there. So this is especially appropriate. Yishtadel la'atzel osonu b'maisu avoda, to make us lazy in avoda v'yatridenu, and he'll involve us and make us busy with olam hazeh, binyan olameinu, earning money, machol, mishteh, malbush, all the things that make up, and we have to be involved in it to some extent in olam haba, but he'll make that our focus and our goal and what takes up our minds and plans the whole day. Umerka lehanos b'mini hanos hagufnius, to seek pleasure, to especially nowadays everything's available to us, especially virtually everything's available to us, and in a kosher way, so to speak, kosher. So he'll try to involve us in that. Right, and he'll tell you about Shamshon of Al Hirsch and the Alps. He'll drain you a cup with all sorts of Irish chitin. You have to try every restaurant, or Hashem's going to be upset at you if you don't try every restaurant out. You don't have to go to every restaurant. You know, 9 out of 10 is good enough. Also, Yapalanu Hamosarim, and he will paint a picture of the necessity of things that are not necessities at all, but they're moisturous. In other words, it'll involve you in pursuit of pleasure. After all, it's your constitutional right, right? The pursuit of happiness, of pleasure. It says happiness, rather, which is not so bad. You certainly, as long as you understand it means to pursue it. But to be happy is not so bad. As long as you reach the right maskanos, what will make you happy? Yapalanu Hamosarim Shem Tfela, the mazonos, things that are not really so necessary, they're mozarim. The yichabim lanu simcha latanuk, nothing wrong with simcha, it's a funny word to use. The translator, Ibn Tibun, chose to translate whatever Arabic there was into the word simcha. Nothing wrong with wanting to be sameach, I guess it means in the wrong way, but just a funny phrase. The yichabim lanu hasimcha latanuk, ulekani bamalachim, uvanche avodosom, Nowadays, nobody's jealous of kings anymore. The kings are jealous of us. We have it much better than any king in history. So, l'idamus aleihem, anything a king has, he wants. That's what the Torah does, right? You see something, and ha'ayin roeh, the Gemara says, v'aleiv chomeid, and then you got to have it. And that is the whole point of advertising, is to make you feel that you need something that you don't really need. If you needed it, you wouldn't need advertising. Unless the advertisement is to make you think their brand is better than the other brand. That I could hear. So we'll try to involve you, and people do spend their whole lives in this. People spend their whole lives in the pursuit of pleasure, in the pursuit of accumulating things, of having things, bigger things, nicer things, more pleasurable things, and that's where he will attempt to make you focus. Okay, we'll stop here in the middle of this thought, of this idea. Okay.